It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline, and today we are back again with another Pretty Little Punch Bowl, y'all. Hopefully you're enjoying these, because if you're not, you're probably annoyed with us. But that would be crazy for you not to be enjoying these. That would be actually crazy.
No one's ever been annoyed with us.
No,
ever.
That is what's so different about you and me. It's like, we're relatable in some ways, but mostly we're different because no one's ever been annoyed with either of us, ever.
No, never.
Not in our family, not in our personal lives, not our listeners at all, not each other. Phoebe, you've never been annoyed with me.
No.
Period. End of sentence.
I wasn't annoyed. That clip from Salt Lake where
The gout dick one or
No. It was Bronwyn and Heather where they were like, I guess we'll just wait for our next public thrashing or whatever.
Yes. You did send that to me.
Oh.
I wanted to send it, but I thought better. No, you did, and you said literally us. Or you said like kinda us or something like that. I had sent you a text that you did not answer. So yeah. It's okay. I do it all the time. I just think it's extra funny that you literally don't remember doing it. That you had the thought that you might want to do it and you're like, nah, but you fully did.
I think sometimes I'll get on Instagram, like, especially when it's like when I'm like laying on the couch, when I'm horizontal on the couch, Grey's Anatomy on, scrolling on my phone. I mean, I'll send every post I see to someone.
Yeah. It's as though I'm like a little bit toasted. liking everybody's story, responding to everybody's story. Like same vibe. If I'm horizontal and my show's on.
Is one of those like sensations as a human that is like, honestly, like when you get into, you don't even have to be drunk, but when you do, when you even have like a social high and you're on Instagram liking people, like responding, whatever, that is like the hangover that you get in the morning, even if you're not drunk, having done that, is the like, oh my God.
I don't know what's worse. Like the post.
What have I done?
Post hangout, you know, they call it post yap clarity, post social media antics clarity. Same thing as a hangover and anxiety. It's just like, what have I done? Sweet Jesus, what have I done? Vibes. You know what I mean? And it makes me think, can you imagine every morning of Mona Vanderwaal's life waking up and like for a split second having the, oh my fucking God, what text did I send Emily Fields last night?
I think only time she's ever felt that. There's two instances. Okay. One, the day after she hit Hannah with her car. I think that one she might have had some.
She might have given that some pause.
Right. That one might have been a tough one to wake up to.
Okay.
And the second is like maybe if there was a night. Okay, there's three.
Okay.
Maybe there was a night where she couldn't quite remember which phone she used.
Oh, God.
In the third night, and we actually saw the exact moment this happened, was when A dropped their phone after Hannah hit A with her car, and the phone falls out of the pocket.
And Hannah comes, doesn't Mona come and like jump her basically?
No, we see A come back to the car looking for the phone, or like getting back in the car and like doing like the dad pat of all their pockets.
Oh yeah.
And then they start like punching the top of the car like so angry. It is the funniest thing ever.
And this is why we need you. See, look, you do remember some stuff about this show.
I just watched that.
Okay, there we go. There it is. Today, guys, we're gonna go through and highlight some of our all-time favorite episodes. And I at first thought we would just do top threes, but that proved to be way too difficult. So I do have some honorable mentions, but we're going to kind of like go through what happened, why they're our favorites, what was significant, and dive back into some of this. And I mean, some of these episodes were literally chock full of just bonkers moments that
we'd be remiss not to
revisit. Okay. Well, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I'll start. Cause I think that I have a very good place to start, and that's with the pilot.
Yeah. No, I'm not that. Sorry. I didn't mean that. It's just cause I was going to do the pilot and I was like, one of us is going to do it. And if one of us doesn't, then one of us will still mention it. But like,
the pilot is a perfect episode of television. And I don't know how many times we have to say it, but like, truly, I think we said it the first time we ever did it was just like, We go through every girl. It's the perfect ratio of like getting the general story and then also having just a little bit of each girl's story, but still not enough. Like, you're still asking questions about like, well, what, why did A text Hannah, prison food makes you fat?
Yeah.
Why did,
it's giving
why
you,
is, why sorry. Does Emily want to make it out?
Out, right.
Out
is,
of what?
Why is Emily talking like that? Yeah, I think it's also, it does such a good job of like, you know, giving you the exposition that you need and then creating the questions that like they know they're going to be answering in the next few episodes. So they're like perfectly positioning certain lines to make you scratch your head and just offer that little bit of foreshadowing. That's a huge moment, obviously. I mean, there's so many tie-ins. It's also got the perfect amount of drama and like action. Like, we get the romance, we get the steamy Ezria moments. We get two, right? For them. The bar bathroom and Allie's funeral, which is a crazy way to be ending it. Then we get that amazing montage
ending
with Wilden.
In the song.
Detective Wilden! Is that right? I feel like I've lost it.
No, that was it.
Okay.
I don't think you can lose that.
You know what? You're
that's,
so
that's
right.
A Caroline Connell original.
My bones, actually in my bones. Thank you. Yeah.
And even if you ever do lose it, it's going to be like when Mariah Carey lip synced at the Vanguard Award.
Whatever that means. What does that mean?
Well, I just mean, like, we're never going to tell Mariah she lost it.
Oh, Mariah knows. Oh, we don't have to know. Or do you think no one told Mimi? No one told Mimi that you lost it, actually. And they just turned on the vocals and let her, like, she's fully singing, but her mic was off. And they're like, if you were close enough, you were like, wait, what is that? Like, you, like, hear a little bit of, like, horrible noise.
Oh, my gosh. I saw this video today, this little edit of Wait For It. Of Ariana Grande, and it was her as a kid singing her little Wicked
about
thing.
Wicked?
That video
it.
Of her singing Wicked, and then there's that interview where she's like on Victorious. Maybe it was even the 13
she's like,
tour.
Oh, Wicked is very different. Wicked is very
and
different.
She's well, that's the one. But then there's one where she's younger, and they're like, "Would you ever do Wicked?" And she like can't control how quickly she nods her head. And he's like, "And which of the two would you play?" And she's like, "Glinda." Glinda,
but
yeah.
Then she kind of went into Elphaba territory for a little bit, which I'm always like,
we
that
have
was
that
when
video
she didn't
of
know
her
who she
singing
was.
Wizard of Oz, Wizard and I,
right after Mac died.
And not the whole video, obviously, so much of it is obviously just about her, but I did have this moment of like, she has had so much tragedy in her life,
so much.
And I do think there's part of me that's like, imagine how happy and proud Mac Miller would be.
I know.
To be seeing her at this point in her life. And
imagine
seeing
no,
her be
like,
nominated for an Oscar.
For Wicked, of all things. Like, I mean, you know that like she made him listen to that over and over. And they
oh
would
my
like
God.
Learn
and
the
he probably
words.
Had a favorite song.
Yes, like for sure. And so just even, no, it's so. Anyway, back to this. By the way, we'll come back to Wicked in just a few moments. But Ella Montgomery's. Version production.
I just
of
saw
Wicked.
That scene with. Oh my God.
We will be revisiting. Anyway,
are you trying to explain that?
Kind of impossible. Had to be there. Hey, you had to be there. Go listen to the app. I don't know what to tell you. And this is a great opportunity for anyone who's like listening now, or is like, oh, I really want to like hear the origin story of Ella Montgomery's Green Hands or something like that. We're revisiting a few of our favorites, and we'll drop the lore in here so you can just go back. You'll have the episode names. You can go listen. You're welcome. Yeah, the pilot really is a perfect, perfect episode of television. I love how it opens. Every photo from the pilot feels so nostalgic and like,
oh my gosh, the early seasons. And I think most of my mentions are from like the seasons 1 and 2.
Me too.
I feel like. Because it has the same feel to it as Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
Like just the way it looks is so nostalgic and wonderful. And I think they were still, the only reason I think this is because they talked about this on the Glee podcast with Kevin McHale and Jenna, her last name starts with a U. And they were talking about how their show was one of the last ones to be filmed on film.
Wow.
And there was
they
were like, we can tell the exact moment we switched to digital, mm-hmm. and the way that things look differently. And because this is 2009 and Glee started around the same time, I'm thinking there's a chance that this was also filmed on film. And it's just like, I know it's expensive, guys.
Yeah.
But
it looks
man,
so
it makes
much
it
better.
Makes a show work. It makes a show work.
Oh, it gives, if you're doing a show that really is relying on the season fall, I think film is a must.
I do think that The Summer I Turned Pretty would have killed.
That would have been gorgeous in film as well. But again, I still think like, because there's something so cozy about the grain and whatever. And that's where I feel like the fall.
And that's why, like, even though the third Santa Claus is my favorite.
Right. Back to Santa Claus.
Right. The first and second.
They give you that nostalgic. Oh, the
first.
And
same with like Halloween Town.
Yes. I know. It's exactly what I'm thinking. It gives a cozy holiday, safe comfort.
And it's probably also partially because those kinds of movies in those seasons are like more memorable than maybe just a season that came out in the spring or the summer.
Totally.
So they feel like we're attaching it to the holidays and everything like that.
Yes.
Anyway.
I also just think with Pretty Little Liars, like, you know, there's been a lot of discourse online about, did Marlene try to outdo Sarah Shepard? Did she try to, you know, make her version of a story better than Sarah's? And it's like, this is such a testament to, it's just
the
not
original
possible.
Story.
You know what I mean? Like the world that Sarah Shepard created here, the books that she wrote, the characters she created, like that's where the magic really is. And that is what was able, like they caught that magic, put it into those first two seasons, and then it allowed them to continue on for five more seasons without necessarily recreating exactly that feeling, but just because they started off so strong with that. And it's like, I don't know, I think it's such a testament to Sarah. And like,
and it would be cool if in like, again, we've said this about Original Sin before, I think it was just too close and it didn't need to be Pretty Little Liars. But especially it was just like too, there hasn't been enough distance from the original show at all.
I agree. I really feel
like,
and
I think that in like 15 or 20 years, the equivalent of ABC Family, whatever it is then, will be it would be cool to see them actually maybe tackle the books.
Yeah, it would be neat. Or again, I do like the idea of doing like a feature film sort of thing, but it's
Well, yeah, these are not mutually exclusive.
Okay, right. Sorry. I do feel if Original Sin had not been branded Pretty Little Liars, it might have had more legs. It might have gone farther.
I agree.
I think it's because they really tried to like latch onto the Pretty Little Liars fan base. And we were like, well, that's not what that is. Like, this is like slasher 80s, whatever.
They didn't consider the, I
what
think
we loved about Pretty Little Liars, you know?
That also, like, especially the fans that are really putting their time and energy into the show still, they're protective of the source material.
Yeah, totally.
So it was like, we will be here for it.
Yeah.
But, like, the things that everybody got most excited about was, like, a Radley mention.
Right.
Or a mention to Ezra and Arya.
Yeah. I mean, Dr. Sullivan.
Yeah. And I'm just like, you guys kind of, you didn't have to.
Yeah. Even if they had just made
it. The same thing happened with Perfectionists and even Ravenswood. I didn't watch either of them. But like,
and Ravenswood, we do not talk about enough. Ravenswood was like actually just such a missed opportunity. Don't you think?
It's just like, I think that they kind of, not in my world, not where
not
I'm living.
Not in my world, not in the world I'm living in.
But like it did kind of probably taint part of the story for people. Like the fact that Emerson ends up where it ends up canonically, it's just like why is it worth taking the risk of like
I
just
totally
come
agree.
Up with something completely different and
never or never have you guys will hate this or never have Emerson happen, you know what I mean? Like never have it be realized. Give Emily somebody that is gonna love her the way she deserves to be loved and isn't attached to all this fucking, you're just trauma bonded and then they get divorced. Like Emily deserves better. Like Emily just repeatedly gets the short end of the stick in that way, and just because she ended up with Allie doesn't mean she got the best person, you know?
I don't even mean like my issue with the divorce more so is like it could have just been like we never see Emily. There are plenty of significant others that we never see in the show very much.
Or
I don't know. It doesn't have to be Allison. I don't know. I mean, I know she's the one that signed on to it, but like,
yeah,
there was enough time where it was like everybody was, I don't think they could have been able to plan it. Like we're going to have Perfectionists, so let's not make Emerson happen. I think it was, cause I think if Shay Mitchell said yes, they would have been like, hell yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. But the divorce, I mean, I just would have loved to know what that conversation was like, because why? That's just,
you know, Emily signed first.
Weird. Anyway, okay, do you have anything else to add about the pilot? Okay. Well, we don't need to do the synopsis for that one because we literally just did it, but are we doing synopses for the others?
Let's see how it goes. What's your next one?
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Okay. I'll try to go as much in order as I can. Where's my other one?
Where's my other one?
Oh, okay. Season 1, episode 10, Keep Your Friends Close. Let me tell you guys a little bit about this episode. Okay. This is the one where we get Camp Mona. And I actually, when I was first choosing my favorite episodes, every single one was like super Mona centered. So I did add in some others. But like, I'm sorry. She is my favorite character through and through besides Hannah. But like for a completely different reason. It's sort of like the same way that I love Bronwyn in Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And I also love Brittany or an Angie. And it's like, I'm not comparing them in any way. My love for them is completely just like they can all be my favorites. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not really Brittany, but you know what I mean. I'm not saying that.
Yeah,
they're competing.
Brittany's kind of, you know who would hate what I'm about to say? The person it's about. Brittany is kind of entering into the space Lisa occupied for seasons 1 through 4
for iconic one-liners and like full delusion that just works
exactly. And yeah. It's just like it's campy and it's funny.
Yeah,
and she. Isn't fucking
she's also,
it up the way that Lisa is.
Yeah.
We forgot to mention on Tuesday the part of the episode where Whitney is talking and Brittany comes over to Whitney and gives her a hug. Whit says, not ready for a hug yet, Britt. we got to talk through this. And then Brittany walks away and says, okay, but like I still would like an apology for the dick sucking comment.
And everyone goes, what? Like, everyone's like, it's just, and that is where it's like, there's not a malicious bone in Brittany's body, which is what makes her so likable. Whereas with Lisa, I'm like, you're iconic, but you're a mean girl. Like, I don't think Brittany is a mean girl. I think she, you know what I mean? Like, she's genuinely, I think got a heart of gold. Like, and that's part of why I can root for her and like her on my show, Anyway, so back to Mona. But that's sort of how I feel about, like, the Mona versus Hannah of it all. Like, I don't love them for the same reason, so they can both be my favorites.
Right, exactly.
So, Mona invites every single girl, all the liars, to her party. And let's not forget the moment when she gives the girls the invitations and they're, like, basically swatting it out of her hand.
Mean.
Like, I'm not fucking going to that.
I mean, Aria may as well throw up.
Aria may as well throw up and say, what makes you think I would come to your party? Like, it's, Spencer's like, the woods? Like, they're like, not happening. And Hannah's like, come on, guys. Like, I really think it's great that she invited you. I want my two friend groups to merge. And this is, like, a sad episode for Hannah because she realizes that she can't have one without having the other. She can't have Mona without having her BFF. Too like it's I mean she can't have one and the other I mean
mm-hmm.
It's always like the seesaw of their friendships. Okay, so the party ends up being a scavenger hunt for A, so the girls now all have to go. And I love the idea that Mona was like, okay, the girls were not overjoyed at getting my invitations and I wasn't planning on making this an A event, but like I need to ensure they'll be there. They are the it girls of the school. They are who everyone's talking about. Okay, it's a scavenger hunt, bitches. And, like, that's how she gets them there. Like,
And never forget how she disinvites Hannah.
Well, I'm getting there.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. So this is also when we get the poor Marins, literally poor Marins thing. And it's Mona's birthday. And Mona's like, come on, we're skipping school and going shopping and going to Rive Gauche. And Hannah's like, Mona, we're fucking broke. And Ashley gives her her last $100 bill. And it's the episode where Ashley steals the money from Mrs. Potter. So
crazy. That's
a crazy fucking episode. Aria is in her single mom who works two jobs era because Ella's outie. And so Aria's like doing all the laundry. She's like, yes, I do the cooking. Yes, I do the cooking. And Byron, she's like, can you help me a little, Dad? Byron. Like she has had it with Byron. We get the Ian Spencer flashback and the kiss reveal. We find out that they had a relationship. We didn't find that out until then. Noel asks Aria out and Ezra starts freaking out and being so fucking pissed off about it. And this is also in Ezra's poem, B-52 or whatever. B-26 gets published and Arya reads it and then like storms in his classroom and Noel's in there. Hannah has to blow Mona off because the cops show up to the school to question her, so she doesn't get to go to lunch with her. So that's why Mona uninvites her. And Mona also starts a rumor that she got liposuction, and they have a girl come up to Hannah and say, who was your doctor? Do you have a recommendation? Just because Mona showed up.
Mona makes a peculiar comment where she says, I was having 3 almonds a day, and you were getting lipo?
Yeah.
And it's like, Mona, you were at fat camp with him?
Yeah.
Why?
Mona, all the flashbacks I've seen of you, you just look like a freaking nerd. But you look like a shrimp, not going to lie. You look like a shrimp that was getting stuffed in lockers, not going to lie. Okay, you look puny, to be honest. So Ella has her fucking green paint moment. In this episode, we have and Arya and Ella go, yes. And we get the close-up of Ella's hands as they're, like, holding Arya's, and she just fucking has the paint. She's like, I've been painting a lot. Like, I've got my groove back. Like, I love it. I love having my own space. And it's like, don't lie. You've been painting what? Your body? With what? Green paint? For what? The local community theater national tour of Wicked? They said we couldn't have a local unpaid national tour community production of Wicked, but they lied. Because we got one in Pretty Little Liars, and that's why the show's so amazing. That's why it's like, do the impossible, you know what I mean? Then we also get Toby gets arrested. He gets like framed and like he gets stuck at the Rosewood Church.
Emily
all the cops
show. Botches it.
Because Emily tells everybody and also tells everybody that Jenna was like fully molesting Toby. We also find out in this that Spencer is 16 years old, which tells me that when the Ian thing happened, she's either 14 or 15. They like try their hardest never to like comment on how old the girls are. And this episode, they let us know, hey, Spencer's 16. And I was like, God, maybe you should have kept that one to yourself. Should have kept that one in the writer's room. How disgusting. Is this not going to be one of my favorite episodes ever?
Oh, it's so good.
Camp Mona, I mean,
I
the blowouts.
The
like,
name of the episode isn't
just
Camp Mona.
Oh, I didn't even say. Sorry. Mona hits Hannah with her car. And we get I see you moment in the window. And I was looking for some discourse online about this episode. And a lot of people were like, okay, but can we talk about how all of the girls, even Hannah, who was disinvited from this party, are searching for A clues. They are like doing a scavenger hunt. They're whatever.
And where's Arya?
In Ezra's car getting lips. Getting lips when, by the way, Noel asked her out and she said yes. So now
and
you're two
like,
timing.
Hey guys.
Two.
You're two.
You're
timing.
Actually two timing now as well, which is deplorable.
And it's like, Arya just is exactly who we say she is.
Like, she is such a male-centered character, whether it's her dad or Ezra or Noel or whoever. And
or herself and her masculine
energy. And really, then she's either self-centered or male-centered. Yeah, no, you, absolutely. She's like, I just feel more comfortable in, like, a men's button-down than I do, like, lingerie. Like, she's like, a men's button-down and, like, some crew socks. Like, I think it's sexier than
I just
lingerie.
Love that my brain, every time they're having, like, conversations we never see, like, real friendship conversations between the four of them, Arya's talking and Emily's rolling her eyes, biting her tongue.
Work. No, I love that. Because, yeah, me too. Anyway, so I think that episode is amazing. And, you know, one thing I keep getting confused in my head is I keep seeing the image of Mona driving the car as A. In tandem with
how
Hannah
did we not
being
see
hit
it?
By the car.
How did we not see it?
Well, that's after. That's why.
Oh, right.
That's when
revealed. No. I mean, how did they not see it?
Oh, with the headlights. They probably had those fucking LED headlights that you can't see shit with.
Right.
Or
right.
The high beams.
Right.
But also, I'm like, Hannah,
people
okay.
got that reference last week. Thank you to whoever commented that.
What?
Right.
I didn't.
You ever had a Krispy Kreme?
Oh, yeah. Someone did like that one. One more thing to like, Hannah, you're my girl and I'm not trying to victim blame.
You froze.
You low-key froze. And the girls were like, Hannah, get out of the way. Like, everyone was like, Hannah. But I am like, okay, Arya, jump and grab Hannah and pull her out of the. Oh, you weren't there.
Only Arya?
Well, Arya was kind of the one that I would have been comfortable with getting hit.
Holy shit.
Okay. I'm just saying if someone had to.
That's a good episode. That's a good episode.
They also find the friendship bracelet in the woods and then the like tree carving. It's packed. It's jam-packed. All I'm saying is I want to go to Camp Mona. Even though I know there's a risk of being run over by a car.
Caroline's 31st birthday party is going to be Camp Mona.
Okay, Janelle, please, will you be there? Please, can you be there?
Oh my gosh, gotta get you a Cameo. I just looked on Cameo again for Lieutenant Butterscotch.
Ugh!
Not there.
what is she up to these days? Watch her just be like a normal ass person. I think that's
she's actually an FBI agent.
And that's why we can't find her, of course. Yeah, I just love any episode that also has a little bit of a glam aspect, which the blowout tent, I mean, doesn't get much more glam than that. So yeah.
Epic.
All right.
My next one is going to be The Naked Truth, episode 219.
Okay.
This is when we find out that Emily has a projector in her chest.
Oh, with the nude of Kate, Hannah's evil stepsister.
Yeah, so Kate's come to school and she decides to, I actually don't know if this is all fully this episode, but I wanted to pick an episode where Kate is in it,
mm-hmm.
so that like we can just talk about this whole thing where Kate decides to send a photoshopped nude picture of herself to everybody in the school, somehow from Hannah's phone.
The fact that this wasn't A, also.
I know. It was
like, Kate. I'm sorry. Does lightning really strike the same tweet? Does lightning really strike the same tweet twice? But like, that's my drama. Question. Because why is this happening to Hannah when like she's already being stalked and tortured by her best friend? Does she need her evil stepsister to do it too?
There are two universal truths that you realize when you go back and watch the show. Okay. And one is that Hannah gets the short end of the stick
everything
that
time.
Happens to her is worse tenfold than what
and,
happens to the
and
other
almost
girls.
Never her fault.
And two, the other universal truth that you find is that Arya is as bad as you think she is.
Yeah.
Anytime you like you try to go into an episode and you're like, I'm gonna give Arya the benefit of the doubt. Like, yeah. Maybe I'm just so like I'm so used to me and Caroline having to get on a microphone and be mean about this girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna watch it from an objective perspective.
Yeah.
This time. And then you are watching it from an objective perspective and she's still the meanest, rudest, most selfish person alive.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it really is. The truth is, Arya didn't have to be A to be the worst character and the biggest villain on the show. Mm-hmm. She still is, even though it wasn't her.
Exactly.
And don't argue with me on that. You can't win.
What else happens in this episode? Let me see. Oh, this is where Arya thinks that Holden. Okay. This whole episode is when they do that weird thing where they. It's like that truth. Thing where they're all locked in the school for however long,
mm-hmm.
and Ashley Marin and Kate's mom are having to help host. Jason is like confronting Vivi about being,
oh my god,
Peter's son, and then there's all that happening, and then we get that scene where Caleb is in the same room with, I think Arya is also in this room, and Jenna and Noel.
Okay.
And Jenna mentions getting slapped by Hannah.
Ah!
And Caleb goes, Mrs. Hastings, are we telling the whole truth or just the version of things we want to remember? And he goes and then
Mrs. Hastings?
And then he finishes and he goes, and hey, Jenna, this is Caleb speaking.
Oh, I love when they do that. But I just love how hard Caleb rides for his bitch complimentary. I love it. Like it's nonstop. And it's another one of these episodes. I don't know if it was one I chose or if it's an honorable mention, but. Oh, no, I did choose it. Where he like, from the fucking get-go, you guys, he shows up for Hannah. The only reason that he was ever with Spencer is because Hannah didn't want him. Like, that, because he thought that. Because she was engaged, and he thought that there was no hope. He wasn't, like, with Spencer after he and Hannah broke up. It was, like, not until he came back and found out she was engaged. Just saying. Yeah. And if that's right. What I have to tell myself to sleep at night, then that's just what I have to tell myself.
And then we get a little montage of what everybody was writing in their invisible ink markers, and that's where we see the infamous my parents are illiterate.
Okay, now 7 seasons in, knowing what we know, who wrote that? Actually, who wrote that?
Emily?
No, Emily's not writing that about Wayne. I think it's Arya. Arya wrote that because she's like, honestly, I can't believe my dad's a professor at Hollis. I understand my mom's a history teacher because she can't fucking read or write. Like, oh my god. Sorry, not that history teachers can't read or write, but it's more.
It's Arya speaking.
It's what Arya said, not me. It's what Arya said. And she's just like, oh, if only like my parents would get it, they'd get what I'm going through. They'd get me and my boy toy being together if they were a little bit better at the written and spoken word. So all I'm saying, like, because me and Ezra, like, put us together. Wow. Whoo! Head explodes. Magic made. Sparks fly. Chills on your back. That's what Aria says about her and Ezra. He's like, we're together. She's like, we're together. And we're doing wordplay. It's like, oh, my God, all the air just got sucked out of the room. I'm lightheaded. Like, that's how it feels. I've never felt like that at a family dinner with my mom or dad. Or don't even get me started on Mike.
So they...
Mike, I've never even heard Mike talk before. He just grunts and steals shit, by the way. Yeah, that was him. Hey, if anything's gone missing in your house, it's probably my kid brother.
What else happens this episode? We get the step up when Ashley Marin is like, step up if you've ever had XYZ happen. And she and Emily will like take two steps because like she's been bullied twice or whatever. And Ashley goes, Emily, one step at a time.
Like, and then Jesus, Ashley.
And then Emily has one of these moments where she like one of those very few moments, especially early Emily, where she decides to like stick it to the man. And she's like, and Mr. Tamborelli, the principal at the time, is standing there, and she's like, people in this school feel uncomfortable, and like all this stuff. And then Mr. Tamborelli goes, Emily, a word. And then Emily goes over to Mr. Tamborelli, and he's like, have you ever thought, taken a second to think that maybe you're the person making people uncomfortable?
And exactly what is that supposed to mean, Mr. Tamborelli?
And it's not what you think, but that is funny because that's kind of what Emily, I think, is mainly talking about. And it's because this is around the time that A framed them with the shovel.
Wait. Wait, that is so funny because it reminds me of the other moment later when Hannah and Emily are learning the dance and the beauty pageant instructor is like, this is not for people like you. And Emily's like, and what the fuck does that mean? And what does she say, like a student or something? And Emily's like, oh. Right. I love when they like do that.
And that then leads Mona to help Emily blackmail the principal.
Right, of course, because it's like that is what you would do in that situation, right? You blackmail your principal.
Right, totally. Let me just make sure I covered everything that really matters. Well, obviously we end up finding out that this was a photoshopped picture of Kate because we see Kate lift up her flash everybody
and
in
we're
the cafeteria.
Like, okay, your body's not that good. just kidding.
What's sweet about Hannah is that she didn't even mean it in terms of like BMI. She meant it in terms of you have a birthmark.
Yeah, your birthmark looks like shit. What did I just quote?
I don't remember.
Superstar. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. And I've seen you reenact it.
And did you see the video of Renee Rapp saying she's basically never seen any movie except Twilight?
No, how's that relevant? Okay. No offense.
How is... Okay, go fuck yourself. How is literally anything relevant that we talked about this whole day? Oh, my God.
No, but I'm confused about it.
Because how that... I just was like, have you seen it?
Oh,
and I was
no.
thinking about how people are roasting her because they're like, and this is why her music sounds like that. And this is like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing for her to admit she hasn't seen these movies. Like, it's not cool to not shit. Like,
but the
care
most
about
likeable,
culture.
Stupid. The most likable she's ever been is when she did that Celebrity Substitute. Have you seen it yet?
Substitute, no.
There's this, the same guy who does Recess Therapy. He does this thing called Celebrity Substitute where a celebrity will come in and like, substitute teach a class. It's like a little thing, not like for real, but like kids will come in and then they'll like make a kid-friendly version of one of their songs. So Leave Me Alone they did, and it she is, and she's really good with the kids because
not
here's
surprised.
People like Renee are good with kids because
they treat kids like adults. Yes,
and kids love that.
Kids are obsessed with when you just act like they're like one of you. Mm-hmm. And they will warm up to you immediately. The moment you go, hello, little sweetie pet, they're like, okay, you're weird. Like, that's
just
what
like,
happens the second
just like Zola. It. Just like Zola with DeLuca.
And Grey's Anatomy, of course, yes. I mean, something I'm working on with Anthony because he doesn't really know how to talk to kids. And so, like, I'll come out
but
and I'll say,
that
like,
if he's able to just act like Anthony, kids
I know,
will be obsessed with him.
I know, but he wants them to like him so bad that he, like, tries and it comes so natural, but I'm like, I spend a lot of time with kids. Like it comes very naturally to me, and he'll be like, oh great, now you're the favorite. And I'm like, well yeah, and I probably was gonna be anyway because I'm a girl and I just know like what kids like I know what to bring up. Like, if all I have to say is your hair looks like Elsa and do you like K-pop Demon Hunters, I'm pretty much the favorite person. Anywho,
so yeah, and then yeah, we have to find out that Kate's a fucking liar. And then the next episode after this is when, or no, it's actually when they're all sitting there after Hannah realizes that she has a birthmark on her right side. She goes, does anybody have that picture? And Emily goes, yeah.
I have right here. Before the words are even out.
Sorry, I was actually Hannah's just like,
wait,
is
that? And Ari's like, oh, it's actually Emily's background. Wait, you don't want me to say that? Oh, I think Emily might have it. Aria is like, I saw Emily staring at it during class earlier.
But the way we see this, the ambush is, yeah, it's a classic bathroom reversal, because normally the girls are the ones getting snuck up on, mm-hmm, in the bathroom. But this time it's Hannah and Kate. And then Aria walks out of the stall because, and Emily's like, hey, can I borrow your phone, Aria? And she goes, yeah, just give me a second once I'm done recording this conversation.
And they all like slam open the bathroom stall doors. Oh, it's so good. They mean business. What can I say? They mean business.
So yeah, that episode.
Okay, that's good. That's
kind of a deep cut.
Kind of a deep cut. All right. Well, this one is not going to be a deep cut. This one is probably pretty obvious, and I wouldn't be shocked if you did it too. But our season two finale Unmasked. Did you do it too?
Yeah, mine too. Yeah.
How could it not be? It is genuinely like, I know we get a zillion A reveals and we haven't gotten to the ultimate reveal yet.
No, this is the ultimate.
It could have stopped after season four, honestly. Like season five, I guess. You know, like, because this A, Mona as A, and then the aftermath of Mona as A is, mm-hmm, television gold. Like, it is so good. Janelle Parrish absolutely kills it as both A, Mona, and regular Mona. And then Riley, you know, all the different versions of that Mona scene that we see.
That scene where she is sitting in the police department afterwards, and she says the liars are going to go home and leave their windows open and, yeah, their doors unlocked.
Don't they know that's what we want? So this episode, I guess there are a ton of references to Hitchcock's Psycho, which I didn't realize is one of Marlene King's favorite movies. So there are references throughout, but this episode specifically.
In a shower, for sure.
Where we have the shower scene, the motel, Mona's creepy monologue Harold at the very
creepy
end.
Creepy Harold.
Yeah. Creepy Harold's in this one, guys. And also, one of my honorable mention ones, I think, or is it? Yeah, I think it's my honorable mention one, is where Mona, like, tells everybody that she thought Creepy Harold was into her after, like, they met at the Lost Woods Resort. And then, like, she turned him down, so he got a job at Rosewood High School, and now he's stalking her. Right. That's what she tells everybody. Right. So good. But anyway, there are a bunch of these references in that ending monologue. Oh, the ending monologue is one of those. That's good. A Psycho reference. It's also a really big Melmo suspicious episode, which we happen to love. This whole thing takes place, obviously, at our masquerade ball, where we know, mm-hmm, that Melissa's going to be dressed as the Black Swan.
When Hannah kind of looks like Hilary Duff in another Cinderella story.
I loved Hannah's whole look. I loved all the girls' look. Now, is this? No, that's Homecoming, where Emily is like in the maze, right?
Yeah, when Toby gets some.
Okay, yeah. Those always blend together for me. So this is the one where, like, they're really there because they believe that Melissa is A. They believe she's the Black Swan. They're trying to find her at this masquerade dance. Obviously, wordplay with the title being Unmasked, of course, with that capital A. We love to see it. And we see Spencer and Mona heading out, and they go to the Last Roads Resort, and Spencer finds the A-Lair. And this is our first real glimpse of not just like a piece of the A-Lair, but the entire thing, realizing it's at the Lost Woods Motel. And then Mona walking in behind Spencer, and we just get that awesome shot of Spencer's face. And what is it like? Did you find any gum, or what is it? What is the line?
Well, they walk in and they're both like hanging out in there for a while, where like they're looking through all the stuff together.
Uh-huh.
And then Mona eventually offers.
Well, Spencer starts noticing things.
Yeah, like the cashmere sweaters and, mm-hmm, things like that. But she's not putting it together yet. And then Mona offers her a piece of gum, and Spencer says no. And then she starts to be like, wait, maybe this is Mona. And then she's like, actually, can I have that? And Mona has to go back to the car, mm-hmm, for more.
Oh,
and
yes,
then she comes,
yes,
back dressed as A, and she says, I found the gum.
So good. Spencer then gets knocked out by Mona. We love a Mona assault.
I always forgot that happened.
I know, but it's
I'm
so good.
Like, and not that I would ever be in a villainous position where I would have to knock someone over the head with anything, but like, how are you so sure they're going to wake back up?
That's my question. How do you not kill them? How do you not guarantee
that?
So,
I mean,
that?
I don't know my own strength, so
exactly.
I know I can
do it. I'm capable of. I've never done it before, but Mona probably has. Mona's actually probably tested it to see like exactly how hard she can hit for them to at least go unconscious but not die. You know what I mean? But also, it's like, this is a scene I remember us saying we wanted more of. I want to see how then Mona got Spencer into that car, because I know Spencer's dead weight. She's like 100% muscle. I know that she was not easy to drag into that car, Mona, and get her damn seatbelt on. And then they wake up in the car, and Spencer and Mona's driving, and that's when we get that awesome shot of Mona through the windshield that I always picture with the Hannah being hit scene. And I love, I mean, Spencer being smart, calling, but just such a heartbreak for Hannah. And we almost get Hannah running into Mona, which is
and
sort
then
of
Mona
like,
screams.
Yeah, and then Mona falls off the cliff. Mm-hmm. Fucking crazy. And then, what? Yeah, it does end with her at the police station. It's such a good reveal. They did it so, I mean, the episode is perfect.
And I can't imagine watching it, like, in real time, not knowing. Like,
I
imagine,
just
want
to go back
I don't
to
think,
that.
I think I really locked in after this. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I was old enough that I could be, like, actually watching it. So I think I knew that it was Mona. I don't think I ever got that, like, unadulterated.
Oh, that's a bummer. Moment. I wish I could, like, wipe my brain.
Me too.
And just go watch the first two seasons.
But the closest thing you can get is just watching it with someone who's never seen the show.
True, true. Or doing a podcast where you get to just, like, really expand on these moments and make them brand new again.
I guess, but you're never going to get that high again.
No, it's true, it's true. Well, I feel bad because this is one of your episodes. Do you want to mention an honorable mention one?
For Whom the Bell Tolls. I believe that's the season one finale, and that's when Ian dies.
Oh,
That
one's fucking creepy. That was one that really gave me the creeps. Because we see his body hanging, and then his body is gone, and all the girls are like fucking liars, and the police go to the church.
And this is where we meet Jackie Molina, of course. Oh. Of course, of course.
Of course we meet Jackie Molina.
And what else should we get here? Breakup. Halo breakup.
Oh, wait,
but
the
then,
one where Mona
but then, I think it's the aftermath of that.
Okay.
And then we see when Lucas brings
Caleb
back
in the car, which like you love so much. But let's not forget that that's when Lucas decided he was going to take all Caleb's money and gamble it away.
I don't think
Lucas was acting
decided.
Peak creepy at that time.
No, it was sweet.
Okay.
And then Emily's like, oh, my God, I'm moving to Texas. Can't believe it.
Oh,
and this is where we meet Logan Reed from my last episode.
Again, and forgot who he is. Again.
Melissa and Spencer got into a car accident.
Wait,
and
yes.
And really, the only reason I love this episode so much and why it made the list, and it is an honorable mention, I think, now that I'm really reading into it, but is the way that they do the last scene. It mirrors the way that the last scene of the pilot is, where they're outside of the church. It's a different church, but it's meant to be the same one. It's just the pilot church is different.
It's not the same song.
And
but you
it's
can't
not the
hold
same
back
song.
The tens of time.
And they're coming out, and then Barry, the cop, comes out, and he's like,
"There's no body.
Is this a prank? Like,
oh,
what the fuck
yeah,
are you
he's so
doing?
Mad. He's so mad.
And there's like everyone's, and then you see Melissa kind of like turn around, and like
and everyone's like, sorry, these girls are pretty little liars. They're lying through their freaking teeth nonstop. That would be, could you imagine like how annoyed you would be as just a townsperson? And you've been dealing with all this
and
fucking drama, all the headlines,
we've
and
ruminated
then this.
On this were, yeah.
I
it's
mean,
like,
Mom would have had a field day with these girls. Like, if the issue was like, and now I have a fake body. Like, oh my God, how
mom
much attention
would,
do
mom
you girls
would say
need?
She hates them, but she would be like wanting us to go to their parties or like befriend one of the moms. Which mom would our mom be friends with? Ashley and Pam.
I think.
And Vivi.
And I mean, Ella's not even on the list. She's not even on mom's radar, really.
Mm-mm.
It's
and when she is, when they run into each other at the coffee tree, it's not enjoyable for either of them.
No, no. And Ella also can't stand our mom. I think I'm going to say Vivi, Pam and Ashley, but more so Pam and Ashley. Because I just think Vivi doesn't have that much time for friends.
Right. But Vivi can hang. Vivi
can,
like every
Vivi,
time
she's, like, yeah. if she's free,
if
she gets the
if
invite.
If Pam, mom and Ashley are going to get dinner.
Yeah.
And it comes up that Vivi's free. They're like, can Vivi tag along to mom?
Yeah.
And mom's like, of course.
I feel like they'll even like put her in the group text, but they also have a separate group text. It's just Mom Ashley and Pam, you know what I mean? And then because also like Emily and Hannah, so that makes the most sense. But then like they also have a group text with Vivi where like they'll put out the feel, but sometimes they're like, it's just gonna be us girls, but then we'll invite. But I bet Vivi gets really drunk and talks so much shit on Daddy Hastings that they're like, mm-hmm. well, we could just use a little bit of tea time tonight. So we're going to Houlihan's and we're inviting Vivi.
Imagine the shit she talks about the De Laurentiis's.
Oh, it would be rich. And they all booth, hate the De Laurentiis's.
Guys, that corner booth
has heard the and seen Houlihan's, some shit.
If these walls could talk.
If these walls
if
could,
that booth
talk.
Houlihan's could talk.
No, literally. Literally. I bet some of the conversations that that booth has already heard have been akin to what it would be if our mom were meeting with
Oh, certainly.
Moms. But I do 100% think you're right. And she and Pam are probably the most like.
They're the most aligned, I
yeah,
feel like.
Yeah. Later.
With parenting style and everything. Later, yeah. later.
Yeah. We need to be like so careful.
Just to be clear.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go into my final favorite. Okay. And then we'll go through a few honorable mentions if we have time. Season 2, episode 6, Never Letting Go, our fashion show from hell. This episode is also just one of those classic ones in my mind. I just love it. So we get a few things. Number one, we start on that scene with all the girls in the bed sharing secrets. And Hannah tells the girls for the first time that she kissed Caleb, but she's not calling him her boyfriend yet. And this is the episode where like Caleb, I mean, they're just in the beginning phases of their romance. And he still mm-hmm. shows up for her because she tells him basically, do not show up at this fashion show. Don't come. It's so Caroline coded. Like, she's like, don't come. And then he goes anyway, and he's all dressed up. Oh, and he's all dressed up, and then he walks her home, and like, he wasn't even supposed to be there. Like, and she's having such a rough night because her dad is back in town fully cheating on whatever his woman's name is, Kate's mommy. And he's like messing with Ashley Marin's head, and Hannah's like, get the fuck out of my house. I'm the man of this house now. Get out. Like, I don't right. do this to my mom. Don't do this to me, and don't show up at my fashion show. But he does. Aria, this is when Aria and Jason are like will they won't they vibes, which is inappropriate but weird. Mm-hmm. And he like texts her when she's with the girls and she's like, we'll be right back. And she goes and like gets in his car with him and it's
yes.
So
it's crazy.
Weird.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And this is either I think this is right after they rekindle at the basketball.
Yeah,
game.
It is. I'm sorry, imagine if one of the girls had looked out their window, Aria, and seen you get into Jason's car. You fucking psycho. So then
it's gonna be like, why can't you ever just date in our age group?
The girls are already talking about you and Ezra, and they're like, is this for real? And now this
Spencer's gonna be like, you just don't get it, Anne. You just don't get it.
I know. She's like, older men, I'm sorry, when you're a little bit more mature, like Aria and I are, well, you'll get it. Older men are more attractive for that reason.
And then Spencer goes to hang out with Aria later and she's like, this is why I just like hanging out with you more sometimes.
This is why like you and I, like, I mean, they're my besties for the resties.
But you're my girl.
But you're my like my soulmate. You're like my soul sister. I'm like, we're just more aligned. We just get each other. And Aria's like, I've been saying that, girl. I've been saying that.
And I like don't care for them as much as you do. But
she
like,
goes, you're the only motherfucker in the city who can handle me, Spence. That's what she says. You know Aria is going to the Lord concert on October 3rd.
Yeah, just like us.
I love when people comment, they're like, oh my god, this is me realizing we were at the same Eras tour show. Yeah, if you go back Pittsburgh. And look at, like, that episode where we talked about going, people are commenting, like, this is me finding out we were at the same one. Like, oh, my God, which is kind of fun. So if anyone's going to Lore, tell us. Okay, so Jess D then asks all the girls to meet for lunch. And it's, like, that awkward thing of, like, they actually – Jess D's not, like, currently a regular person in their mm-hmm. lives that they're seeing. Right. So it's that awkward thing of, like, what the fuck? And they all get
and
lunch.
It's like, and all we have in
all
common is your dead daughter.
Yeah, so it's so weird, and the girls feel so weird about it. And at this time, I think they still think that A is – Allison, so they're like feeling extra weird, and Jess gives them all the dresses that Allie had picked for them when she was alive. This is also when we get Emily and Samara and like some extreme chemistry between them. We get the moment of Emily changing and Samara's like watching her in the mirror and helping her with her straps, whatever, and it's like, can we just live in that romance for a little bit mm-hmm. instead of what we actually get in season 2? Then we get just a classic moment of Hannah dancing in the kitchen with her headphones on, which are some of my favorite Hannah moments. I love to see my girl carefree living her best life, but she does get interrupted by her nasty father. And so obviously the girls put on the dresses, they walk the fashion show, and as they're walking, the gorgeous memorial photo of Allison in the back is replaced by like horrifying heavy metal music. It's all red. There are flames. And over Ellie's face, it says, evil bitch monster.
No, that was crazy.
And, like, Jesse is obviously so horrified. But, like, could you imagine for real? Like, that's no. so crazy. Holy and, shit. Of course, oh, the girls God. Are on stage for it. And they don't move. And they just step, mostly Arya, stays up there. She's like, okay, well, this is, like, my moment. And so Ellie's taking a lot of moments, I think. She's got plenty. Can I just have one? And then they get the text from A saying, my dresses, my game, my rules. We also get Noel trying to blackmail Arya for like one of the first times because he shows up with the disc that Mona had switched out because Mona was running the event. And he shows up backstage and he's like, I can fucking ruin you and your friends with this. And then Jason comes in, takes it out of his hands, breaks it in half and is like, stay the fuck away from my girl. Mm-hmm. And Noel's like, you're weird, Montgomery. This is weird. This is all weird. It's also the first episode where we really see the rivalry between Mona and Spencer, which is obviously one for the ages. Like, their rivalry rivals that of Allison and Spencer, don't you think?
When Spencer lunged across that table.
That is one of my honorable mention episodes here. Good. It's not this one, you know, right?
Yeah, I was just saying generally but talking about their rivalry.
There is a moment where Spencer like desperately wants to get physical with Mona in this episode when she realizes that Mona is like taking control of this entire event.
Yeah.
We also get one of the best songs in the Pretty Little Liars soundtrack playing for the second time, Flaunt. It played in the first episode when Hannah is stealing the sunglasses. It's the don't you.
No.
Don't you want. Yes, it is. Don't you want to want.
That's
don't
when Maya and
you.
Emily are in the bedroom.
It's also. I think it starts when Hannah's leaving. It's not playing when Hannah's in the mall.
I think it's something. No, it's that.
Well, that's just when she's walking in.
And when she walks out, when she puts the sunglasses back on.
Maybe. But I think during the actual whole scene, I want to say the song is playing in the background. I'll fact check.
I don't know,
it.
But it's certainly playing when Maya and Emily are in the bedroom.
Yes. Are those things happening simultaneously? Maybe. I don't know. This is also the first one where we get Tresemme product placement. Fun fact, I didn't realize this. Before this episode, they were doing all their Tresemme ads in the commercial breaks, and they were having Mona and Hannah in character doing the ads, which I want to find some of those on YouTube because iconic.
Oh my gosh, we didn't even mention from the season two finale. That's when, because I was thinking of other times we hear the same song, and that's when we find Mona or Maya's
like
body.
That. My wife is broken. Oh, you're right. Oh, my God.
We completely forgot that.
Wait, that's an unmasked?
Yeah, because when they're coming back from the police station, they're like, oh, my gosh, we're going to have such a good night. Yes. Sweats. Like, A's out of here. And then it's some of Shay Mitchell's best acting I think she's ever done in her life.
Runs up and her mom. And it's that moment, too, where, like, Pam is, like, not on board at this time. Like, she's trying
really
hard.
But she knows
hard,
that this is going to, like,
but it does it, like that,
kill Emily.
Her love for her daughter supersedes whatever, like, prejudice she's feeling in that moment. And she just is, like, there for Emily. And Emily falls into her arms, and it's just like so reminiscent of obviously when we found out about Allie's body, and like you said, the same song. It's that callback is powerful. One of my honorable mentions was season 3, episode 15, Mona Mania. This is when I realized I had too many Mona episodes as my favorites, but that's the one where Spencer loses the academic
season
decathlon
3.
Captain.
It's crazy that that storyline for Spencer is so early.
Because Spencer doesn't really start doing drugs until the fourth season, really, right? That's when she goes for end of third, and she's in Radley beginning of fourth.
Yeah, but this is when she, but then why is she going so crazy right now?
I think because Mona just came back. No, I think that is what it is, because Mona has just come back and they're like, how the fuck are you at school? Mona's not allowed to use a phone. She's like literally not allowed to use a phone.
Yeah, but I
she
think
has like
when
supervised
Mona comes
computer
back,
lab
that's
hours.
When Spencer, that's when Spencer starts going fucking crazy.
Yeah, and that's this.
Yeah, but I think she must be on drugs.
She, I don't
part
think
of
she
it
is
like
yet,
the no sleep.
This is when she has her moment with Andrew. Oh, I was thinking this is the one where she like does like strip.
Yeah, I think it
studying
is,
with
right?
Andrew, but then Ren is the one that takes her to the decathlon when she's supposed to be going somewhere else, and that's when she attacks Mona. So she must already, you're right, be on it, maybe. But she tries to buy it from Andrew, and Andrew's like, girl, what the fuck? So I just feel like, I don't know, I need to double check that time. That's also where we get, Spencer literally throwing her, catapulting her body over the table and choking Mona out on the ground. Which is, that's insane. Crazy. It's so good. And then this is where we find out Mona has her Harold story in this one. It's also where, don't forget, like, the pipe bomb that went off during the race at the school that Lucas did.
Oh, right.
And Meredith tries to pin it on the girls. What the fuck? And this is when we find out about Allie and Byron. And I think, like, shortly after this, Meredith starts... End of season three is when Meredith starts drugging Arya. Arya, that's, like, the worst thing that happened to you. Get over it.
other than being groomed by your teacher.
Well, she liked that, apparently. She's married him.
Yes, that's true.
Sorry, guys. That's just what happened.
She would probably say the same thing. She is married to him.
Yeah.
They were just trying to have a kid, you guys.
Hello? Okay. Other honorable mentions from you?
Well, my other one was going to be Welcome to the Dollhouse.
Ugh. I know. That was on my list as well. And I do think, guys, we are going to do a Dollhouse episode, but that requires, like, a lot of thought for us to get to how we would do it. And we're also going to do a Neverending November episode, which also requires a lot of thought. So those ones are coming. But that Dollhouse episode, there's so much build up to it. Mm-hmm. Seeing them getting taken from the van is crazy.
It's the closest feeling that we get to what we got when we first saw the A layer for the first time. Because it's like, you really have to take a second to take it all in, that they're in
this is when we learn that Mona's alive.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this should have been on my list. This should have been definitely on my list. I mean, that's where we find out, because they think it's Allison. Because she's all dressed up like Allison. Okay, well, this isn't one of my favorites, but I did, like, honorable mention moments. Season 5, episode 21. I'm going to give you the title. I want you to guess if you can guess what I'm referencing, like what I'm getting at. The title's Bloody L.
Is it when Spencer puts her bag down at Oxford and blood starts coming out of
Spencer's bag in Oxford? Oh, that is so fucking funny. And Spencer says to someone, look, I didn't eat a crayon. I'm just dealing with some oversized toiletries right now. That's how she covers it up. Okay. Okay, another one that's on my honorable mention. Do you have any more on yours?
No, that covered all mine.
Okay, I have a couple.
I mean,
more.
I could think, but I was kind of overwhelmed trying to think through.
It's genuinely hard to think about. So if you think of any as we're talking, you know, throw
there are fewer boring episodes than there are.
Yes. And going through these, I'm like, no, these are actually jam packed. There seems like there will be one big thing that you'll remember from the episode, but then there are actually like six other really big things that happen. They just don't stand out as much. Reality Bites Me, season 1, episode 5, which is one of our episodes that people really like, but that's where Spencer steals the AP Russian history essay, which I just do love that episode. It's such a good Hastings dynamic episode. It's also like for Spencer to do this when Melissa is so fucking mad at her, because it's right after Melissa's wedding gets called off because of Spencer and Ren. And it's when Melissa goes, what about the florist? Do I have to make that call? It's like right after that, and Spencer's like, I'd rather eat where I'm wanted, and she won't have breakfast in the kitchen.
She goes to the trash can with each like bridal and style
slams them in the garbage in front of Spencer. Spencer's like, I'm gonna leave, and they're like, no, you'll stay. It's so giving Georgia Connell. It's like, oh, you're gonna leave? No, you're gonna stay here. And Spencer's like, I don't want to be where I'm not wanted. Yeah, Melissa's like, I'm not hugging that slut. Melissa is about to get physical.
I'll probably
with Spencer.
Get some sort of disease.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what she has. That's what Melissa's saying. I don't want to catch anything.
Vivi says something off the cuff. She's like, Whatever she has, you probably already have it.
Yeah, hate to break it to you, Melmo.
You guys have been sharing lips.
Exactly, but that episode is just so good, and it's the one where it's also the one where Spencer Ren comes to the house, and Spencer leaves to drive him back wherever, and she comes back, and A has the plant all fixed up, and she wrote in jungle red on the mirror, and then she films the girls from inside Spencer's closet, which is such a creepy fucking moment. I remember that scared the shit out of me. Other honorable mention would be The Lady Killer, season 3, episode 12. Can you guess?
Is that about Jenna?
No, it's about Emily, mostly. It's famously one of our favorite things to say about our girl and any girl that has developed this.
Is this when Emily kills Nate?
Yes, the skin of a killer. When Emily gets the skin of a killer and kills him in the lighthouse. That is such a crazy episode. We find out that he's actually Maya's
another good
boyfriend.
Acting both Shay Mitchell and Ashley Benson.
Yes. Toby's revealed as a member of the A team in that one also. And I love Emily, the fact that Emily's the first liar to kill somebody.
I know, it's crazy.
What are the odds?
But I love that scene where you see Mona walking back into Radley and she turns around and like she's in her little outfit and she's like being cute. And then Toby turns around. I mean, that was like, that was maybe one of my first heartbreaks probably.
Oh my God. Well, and then obviously the episode with Spencer, after this, crying in the rain, mm-hmm. banging on his door.
Oh, so good. I also, and Mona inside eating the lasagna that Spencer made for Toby. That's crazy.
Oh, it's so good.
I love episodes like that where it starts where we see Hannah sobbing at the, and we don't know what happened. And like Emily looks like shell-shocked. It's all we see. We don't know who's dead. And then we have to watch the whole episode. I love that.
My final honorable mention is season 2, episode 13, The First Secret. It's where we meet Lady G. It is our first Halloween episode. Mm.
I have another honorable mention quickly. Okay, say that. No, you can talk about it first. I need to make sure.
So good. Obviously, we get the rivalry between Allie and Jenna, where they both go as Lady G. And they look horrible. They're supposed to be Lady Gaga and they look horrific. And then Allie is like in Noel's house or something, or someone tries to like.
It's that haunted house.
The haunted house. But doesn't she like.
She thinks
scare
it's
the
Noel.
Girls?
She's like, she thinks that she's doing a prank with Noel. And then we go back to the party and there are all these baby face masks around. And she's like, Noel, you scared the hell out of them.
Yeah.
He's like, no, sorry. Like, my brother took the car for a beer run. Like, sorry. I've been
there.
Here all night. Because he comes up like apologetic. He's like,
sorry, I didn't scare the fuck out of your friends like you wanted. Which, by the way, is so mean. Don't ever do that to your friends. But she's like sitting down there, right? And they come down, they're like, how could you fucking do this to us? Like, that's so
mean. And
then
she's like, catch up.
Yes.
Want some here?
Yes. Evil. Fucking evil. Okay,
my
so
last honorable mention is The Perfect Storm.
Oh, the bottle episode. That is one of your all-time faves. And that one takes me back in such a specific way for some reason. Like, then who knows?
Because they're stop it. I didn't need to hear that. Stop it.
Evie hates my voice, guys.
No, you were just no.
Yeah.
I don't like Arya's musical prowess. we get that moment of Ezra seeing them sing, and he's like, "Who is he?"
And he's covered in rain. He's soaking wet. He's just been out
and he got
in the
a
rain.
Haircut.
And he's in the doorway, and she's like, and then Noel's
and
like.
Noel's like
something's going
I'm
on
gonna,
here.
No, I'm gonna like, go see what's going on
wait,
in the library.
What?
I love when Vivi comes into the library after Wilden has just outed Emily to the girls.
Oh!
And Vivi says, it looks to me like you're talking to minors without a lawyer present.
Oh my God. And this is the times that I fucking love Vivi. Okay, social justice warrior.
She's the best.
Okay,
and then we
Vivi.
See that we see the broken memorial at the end, and we're like, whose shoes are fucked up?
And then we
and
think
we're
it's
like,
Emily, right?
We think it's Emily, and then I think we find out it's Lucas in that episode. But what I think is so comforting about that episode is the way all of it looks like it's pouring rain from outside. So like the inside of the school already looks so warm and toasty and nice. But then paired with the flashbacks we get of Emily and Allison, and it has that filter over it, like all the flashbacks.
Well,
do.
And I think it's their first kiss too, right? And mm-hmm. that we see in the library, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's that's such a good episode. I love it. And I love that honestly the looks of the girls stand out a lot to me in that. I feel like I can see what they were all wearing. Like I like
mm-hmm.
just that. It's just brilliant. It's just so good. Who shows up at the school and like freaks someone out? A mom. Ella?
Oh yeah. Cause of
Ezra.
I think Arya's just like, mom?
Yeah, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
What are you doing? This is sort of my spot. What are you my hangout spot? What are you doing here? I'm not old enough for the brew yet. Just kidding. Anyway, so okay. I'm sure there are a zillion episodes that deserve to be on this list that we forgot. So definitely comment and let us know what your favorite episodes are, if we missed any, or if we missed any moments in our favorite episodes that like were iconic either in the show or in our retelling of the shows. Cause that was one thing that I had fun as I was like sifting through episodes trying to figure out what I wanted to talk about today. I was like, I just cracking up thinking about all the fucking world building. Like I'm like, this isn't actually part of the episode, but if we're going to talk about my favorite episode that we also created, that we had a hand in creating. Yeah. Like Ella Montgomery and her national tour community, local unpaid production of Wicked. Like, of course. So the show really, like when you look at it back like this, it just is such a good show. It really is. And I can't, It also just makes me excited, like, thinking back on all these episodes. And, like, it feels like we talked about them so long ago, but also 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't wait to see, like, what worlds within worlds we will have in Gossip Girl. I keep seeing some Gossip Girl fall posts, and I'm like,
well,
Blake
just posted for the
18th
the 18 years, which is crazy. 18 years is crazy. I wonder if they'll do, depending on
a 20-year.
Depending on how things go in the next couple years,
what I am gonna say is
no, I don't. I just mean in terms of like laden on the carpet, throwing shade, things like that. And I love them both.
But was she? Really?
I don't know. That's what I heard.
I didn't feel like she really was. I will say, guys, Baldoni has potentially angered the Swifties.
He's not looking particularly respectful to women.
No, not really. And kind of hasn't been from the start. But anyway. All right. So that is our favorite episodes. I'm sure we missed some, but that's what we got for today. Hope you guys enjoyed this little revisiting and this punch bowl. We look forward to seeing you guys next week for our penultimate episode of Pretty Little Liars.
Holy shit.
Which, like, makes me feel sick to my stomach to even say out loud. Oh, my God. But it's going to be awesome. And we're heading into the last few weeks of this, which makes me feel crazy. But we've got some awesome, awesome, exciting stuff planned for you in the next few weeks. Okay? So don't go anywhere. Now is not the time to jump ship. We have stuff coming once we finish the show that you are not going to want to miss. And we'll want some of your input. So make sure you're following us on social media, on Instagram at The Pretty Little Podcast. The Owen Podcast is a zero. On TikTok at The Pretty Little Podcast. If you could leave us a review, that would be amazing. Comment on this episode if you like it. Even if you hated it, tell us that too. Don't be shy. We know you won't be. And we do have our Halloween Rosewood Ghost Tour PA whatever merch out for sale in our Etsy shop. And ghost tours are happening this weekend and for the rest of October. So, love you guys so much. We'd love to see you. We'd love to hear what you think of these episodes. And we will see you next week. And slurt.